Hey, how's it going? Episode 20 of the I Want Practice podcast presented by Precision Sonar. My name is Donovan and I am here with Ryan. Ryan, how's it going?
We're good.
Good. Today we have a very special guest, a man with over $30,000 in winnings and three professional LBL wins. Ladies and gentlemen, Dustin Vall.
Screwed that one up too.
No, we can cue that one. I can edit that one out. Dustin, how's it going, man?
Pretty good, buddy.
We're glad to have you here, man.
Glad to be here.
So we wanted to talk about today your most recent win of the Super Tournament. So you are no stranger to Super Tournaments. You have fished multiple. You have won a few, and you've definitely placed top 10 in a few of them. So is there something about Super Tournaments that you just like more than one dayers?
I don't know if it's more Super Tournaments or fall tournaments.
Yeah.
I think ever since college, I won two $50,000 ones in the fall, one of them being here. And then the Super Tournaments are all in the fall. Pretty much all that money that I've, any money that I've won has been in the fall. So
yep.
Put a tournament on the fall and I want to be in it. So
I have noticed that that's a recent or that's a trend of yours. If it's past July, you're taking home some sort of top 10 place.
I guess that's the trend that happened. I never thought that was my strong suit, but apparently it is. So
yeah, absolutely. So
Dustin's the only one that likes to fish in the fall on the Tennessee River.
So let's hop into it. So it was a Saturday and Sunday tournament here on Kentucky Lake. So going into it, is there anything that changed recently that goes into your mindset for these super tournaments?
2-day tournament. Every time I'm looking more for a school of fish, not just like I can pull up and just get one bite here, one bite there. My focus in practice and throughout the whole month of September is where can I find that one spot that I'm going to win off of and that it can replenish? Because there, anytime that you hear of tournaments that are won on Kentucky Lake or the Tennessee River in the fall, especially, it's normally on one spot, one group of fish. Someone found the right ones and it paid off over 2 days.
Mm.
And that's exactly how this one played out, pretty much. I mean, I had four spots, but one of them was the key spot for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And where was that at?
It was...
No, you didn't get it.
Waypoints?
It was like, you know...
You should have just let him keep going. See what he
was. I was going to say it was in Birdsong, you know, go on down there, buddy.
Jeez.
It wasn't, but yeah.
We'll find him down there. I keep trying to find it.
Oh, they'll be there.
So you said you had four different spots.
Yep.
So I'm assuming you got to practice a little bit.
I practiced one day, which was on Friday. Now, over since, you know, September, we had three super tournaments here. So I'd probably had six total combined practice days over the course of the month, which this has been the hardest September that I've. Well, it feels like it's been the hardest September to locate fish than I've had in the past probably 5 years here. And I don't know, I think it's because of the explosion of the bait fish that we've had in the lake. And it's scattered the fish more than I've ever seen them. It's just, I hadn't fallen over. I thought I'd fallen over a couple of the right schools out deep and then they would just move on me like they always do at this time of the year. But finally I started finding some shallower fish and then I started doing a little bit better. So that's how this one happened.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the shallow fish are just a little bit behind, a few weeks behind, because I think probably how much bait we've got in the lake. You know, we've got bait everywhere from the river channel all the way to the backs of the bay. So, I mean, those fish don't really have to move a whole lot. We've got warmer than average temperatures, so probably changing some things up, keeping things behind. Those fish don't have to move up shallow.
Yeah, and it's something really weird this year that it's not the case. Normally, when I've done well, it's normally been out in the middle,
yeah.
You know, and I can find one here and there out in the middle, but I have eight spots out in the middle that I would consider like elite, dang good fall spots, and they are not there.
Yeah.
So I had to really switch it up Friday in practice. Honestly, one of our good friends, Berger, gave me just an idea. He's like, why don't you go try something like this? And it was literally the second spot I tried. There was like 40 largemouth that came up just exploding everywhere. And I was like, well, if these show up, we're going to be all right. So yeah. I didn't think they would because it was in the evening when I found them, but they were there the next day. So.
Well, that's incredible. So, I mean, going into practice, you kind of had an idea of what you were going to do and it worked out that first day, I would imagine, right? Just about the exact same way.
Yeah. You're talking about the first day of the tournament. Mm-hmm. I had an idea. Yeah. So I was going to start because every single tournament's won pretty much either in the middle or on some sort of bar in the fall.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, I'm still going to go give that a try. Right. And I didn't even go to the fish that I had found in practice. Mm-hmm. Initially I went and ran, three spots. My co-angler caught a three and I caught a two. So we were catching one here and there, but I was like, this isn't going to do it. We better go check this, school of fish to see if they're actually there.
Sure.
I pulled up and they weren't exploding everywhere. It was, you threw out and you had to make the right cast, the right lineup. I had like three different ways I could cast across the spot to get bit. And if you didn't hit it right, you would not get a bite. But every time I did, for about the first hour, I caught a pretty dang good one. One of those being a 5.7 on day one. And then I lost one that was well over six. And then I finished out my limit. I had around 15 pounds and I was like, well, I'm going to take off that 15 pounds will get me in tomorrow and put me in contention. I'm going to go run a bunch of spots like this and see if we can find some more for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I did end up going further south and I pulled up on a spot and caught a 4.8 smallmouth and made about a 2 pound call. And I was like, all right. So then I just ran as many of them as I could the rest of the day trying to find more. And I ended up finding two more spots that had them. So I knew on Sunday I had a dang good shot if I could just rotate those all day.
Absolutely. So it was like 15 your benchmark that you wanted to get to?
Yeah, honestly, going into tournament, we were talking. I was like, I honestly feel like 16 a day could win this thing just because it feels like it's progressively gotten tougher through September.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was going to get better, but then that warm spell came back in after we had the coolness and it shut her down again. So, yeah.
What do you think having three super tournaments on a lake does to it?
You know, I would say if it was fishing good and they were stacked up, I would think it would, we had that huge college tournament too. And I thought that would really pressure him and mess it up. But I don't think that's what it is. I just think they're so scattered. There's not much current. The water level, it finally got down to 355, which is where you want it when, you're doing what typically would win in the fall. And so I just think I don't really know if those tournaments hurt it too bad. Just not a lot of fish being caught, so.
Not places. Fish aren't in places that they can get caught, so they're not getting as much pressure.
No, and I feel like this was what was going down where I won was fresh. Like it didn't feel like they were pressured fish. Like they were committing the way you want them to commit, whether it be they were just hitting whatever I was throwing pretty dang hard, whether it be a topwater jerk bait or I even went to a Carolina rig and they were still yanking it pretty dang, like pulling it down. So it felt fresh. Like there's a lot of fish out there just not set up right is what I feel like.
Yeah.
So obviously first day worked out pretty good for you. You were sitting in second.
Yeah.
Do you go into day two with that same mindset or do you start to make changes?
No, I left those fish and they were continuously biting there. So I was like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen there. And
yeah.
In my mind, instead of, leaving that spot this time, I was like, well, I got four spots. I'm going to hit that one first. And then once they slow down there, I'm going to run the other three and then I'm going to continuously go back to it and see how many times I can hit it throughout the day and catch one off it. And that was my mindset of how I was going to try to get it done on day two.
Mm-hmm.
How far of a run were you making?
Yeah, probably between 45 minutes and 50 minutes. Yeah, something like that.
I feel like that's not too bad.
It's a pretty good little haul.
I ended up going all the way down to Leatherwood.
Yeah.
And then back up and my boat broke. It's day two, but yeah.
So before we hit that, I wanted to ask you, because after you secured the win, you obviously talked to MLF and they had that article on you and I forget the co-angler's name that won. I apologize for that. But you said you were throwing Carolina rig, topwater, and what was the other one?
Jerkbait.
Mm-hmm. Is that really what you were throwing? Because I know a lot of people will just say random baits.
Yeah, that's what I... It's really funny. Like those are the three baits I throw every fall.
Really?
And sometimes I'll alternate a spinnerbait in there. But I fish them in a way that it's hard to replicate. Like I have people with me and they're just like, how in the world? I fish it really fast and really hard, like KVD style. And I mean, if you can't do that, they just won't bite. I don't understand. Like it's amazing the little difference, what it takes them to get them to actually commit to it. And, it's very noticeable because of co-angler. I both gave them the same baits that I was throwing and they didn't get a single bite. Unfortunately, I mean, I was hoping they would.
Sure.
I've had quite a few co-angler wins out of the back of my boat. I think I've had around six of them in my career. So it's fun when you're both doing pretty well, but there's just something about the way you fish it in the fall that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned earlier, Justin Berger. We just recently had him on episode 20 or episode 18. He said he also fishes pretty fast, but he'll give a spot like five casts. And if they're not biting in the five casts, he's heading out.
Yep.
Do you kind of fish the same way, or is it kind of give it some time?
Well, in the fall, yeah. I'll pull up. You know pretty quick if they're there or not. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times they'll show you something, and then you'll move. You'll move, but I'll recheck a spot, though, 3-4 times in a day. Like, if I know that they're there, and then I'll move quick, but I'll come back to it and check it again because, I mean, this spot, I even came back at 1 o'clock in the day, and they were there, like, going down even better than they were in the morning. And I already caught my weight a lot of the time. So,
well, so let's talk about your Sunday. You're going into it in second place. You had a pretty good day, I would say. So take us through from the morning to the incident.
Yeah. No. So instead of going out and doing my original, middle of the lake stuff, I went straight to the spot that produced my limit on the first day that I left. Yep. Pulled up there at around 7:30. They let us out at like 6:45. And dude, it wasn't going down. It took about 40 minutes until I caught my first keeper there. And I was just like, I know, because it's on the Tennessee River. The thing that I've learned over the years is you need to, like, once you catch one fish on an offshore spot or anything of nature, you better mark it down, like, the time of when that was. Mm-hmm. As whether it be current, whether it be just whatever the fish are doing, the moon, I swear the moon phase makes a huge difference on the fish on this lake, because when the moon's out, a lot of times it's tougher fishing, but there's something about that schedule. And it was the same way on Sunday. I went from fishing from 7:30 to about 8 or 8:15. And in my mind, I was like, man, do I move or do I, And then I caught two back to back, and I was like, oh, here they come, just like yesterday. And it was literally almost the same time as it was, because we let out later on day one. And I was like, well, I'm going to give it, I'll wait till about 9:15 now and see what happens. And, I didn't get bit for a little while longer. Like, it was tougher in the morning, there. So then I picked up Carolina rig and was just messing around. I picked up the littlest minnow, and I was just like, to heck with this. I was like, if I'm going to win this thing, I'm going to do it the way that I win tournaments. Absolutely. And I picked up a topwater and flung it. I mean, made the same cast, and a freaking 6-pounder just explodes on it. And I was like, all right, that's the sign, baby. That's the sign I was looking for.
We're back in it.
Yeah, I netted that thing and freaked out. That was great. And then I threw out there again, and a freaking 5-pounder just goes, boom, blows up on it. I mean, hits it so hard. And I was like, I got this one. Like, and it freaking comes off halfway back to the boat.
Oh,
and
no.
Right then, though, I was like, man, you can't miss. If you miss those type of bites in these tournaments in the fall, you don't get a chance to win a lot of the time. So I honestly was like, man, I possibly didn't win this one because of that. And it was playing those mind games with me.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I was thinking that, my co-angler freaking sets the hook on a 4.9. I was like, yeah, it's falling apart. But yeah, he got that one in the boat. And I'm trying to think. So yeah, I had three at that point. And he had that one. We chilled there for about another, I gave it till about 9:15. I was like, all right, I wasn't going to get my limit like I was as quick as on day one. So I took off to where I caught the second good one. I pulled up on that bar and I threw out there and caught a 4.8 smallie. Like, it was literally my first cast. And right away I was like, all right, we're back in this thing. I was like, I'm one bite away. I knew I was one bite away at that point. I was like, if I can catch 18 to 20, I was like, it's going to be really hard for anyone beside the leader
to catch up,
to beat me. Cause in the fall, catching a 21 or 22 pound bag, it's
hard.
You've seen the weights, what they've looked like the past, 3 weeks here. It's really hard to get done. So
it's so funny. Cause you look at the stuff in like the spring and it's like, the top 30 all have over 20 pounds.
Yeah.
It's just so tough. Cause it's such a big transition.
Like,
so many different things are going on. I mean, they're still fishing 20 foot of water, summertime places.
Yep.
They're still on ledges just the way that you would expect them to be. So when you catch one, you pull the whole school off it.
Yeah.
So it makes it harder to fish that way, but they're still out there and you see them.
Yeah.
Big groups of them, and there's big groups of little ones and stuff, but just to have a consistent bite that you can catch enough to win out there, it's hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at that point you have four or five?
I had four.
You have four.
Yeah. It was around 9:30.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm one 3-pound bite away. That's what I needed. I knew it. And I went down to the edge of that bar. Actually, I caught just a real skinny, nasty smallmouth that kept. And I was excited, but I was like, all right, I still got to call this thing out, you know. And I fished that spot for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes since I'd got those bites, didn't get anything. And I was like, all right, I'm running back up to that area. Because I was like, if I'm going to win, I know the fish are there in that spot to win. Mm-hmm. I ran right back up there, and it was my second cast over it when I was lined up right. A 3-pounder blew up on it. And I was like, okay. I was like, we're in business now. I was looking at my co-angler. I was like, I had one left in there that was a 195. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that one's going to kill me. You know, you always, like, after you catch that fish that you think you need,
yep.
you still yeah. think you need more.
Of course.
I was like, I still need a 5-pound bite. You know, that's what I was thinking.
Absolutely.
But, they wouldn't, I didn't get any more topwater bites there. So I did. I picked up the Carolina rig, backed off it in about 16 foot of water. And I caught one that upgraded me by like a quarter of a pound. And I was like, this might make the difference. So
absolutely.
I was so fired up. And I won by 6 ounces. You
it very well could have.
And I think it was the one, buddy. Like, yeah. It was a smallmouth that I thought was huge when I was reeling, because everyone on Carolina rig, smallmouth wise, you think it's going to be huge. But I got it in. And I was like, there goes that 195. But yeah. I thought, even in the weigh-in, Clint, you know, he was in second. And he was like, what do you got in there? And I was like, dude, I've only weighed one of these fish all day. And I never weighed my bag because, I was just like estimating the whole time. But it was pretty interesting.
So what time was that you caught that last cold fish?
That was probably, I feel like it was 11 o'clock, something like that. I caught more fish after that that were just keepers and some small ones and stuff like that. And I even backed way off, like went out on to where it was in the main river. And I caught a massive drum I thought was going to be the one, and caught a couple of other small ones, but nothing that was going to help me there. And so then I ran back down again. And I was like, well, I'm going to run back down and hit the other spots down south of the bridge. Ran down there. Missed on two spots, didn't get a bite, and came back up and fished that same spot. I upgraded on that four. It was like a 4.8 smallie, and didn't catch any. Saw one freaking busting a massive 8 or 9 inch gizzard shad, and it was a giant. Like, and it was, and I made the perfect cast, landed right on top of it, and I got an explosion, and I was like, let's go. Yeah. I thought it was the one, and it was a 14 incher. And I was like, why was that fish with the, it had to have been at least 6 pounds. It was huge. I saw its whole head coming over, and then the gizzard was just like under the water doing crazy things, and it'd come back up, and he couldn't get it.
Just
like,
freaking out.
Yeah. But this fit, and then I had one like perfect cast in it. And that was what I caught, the 14 incher. And then he ate it and was gone. Like, I was like, well, I don't think he's going to come back up again. Yeah. I tried. I sat there, power pulled down forever. And by that time, I don't know. I feel like it was 1 o'clock. I know it was around that time. And I was like, all right, we're going back up to the other spot. I know it's going to go down there. And I put my power poles up, and I went and sat down and pushed the start button on my Ranger. And all my screens went off. The whole boat shut off. The pumps, live well pumps, everything shut off. And I was like, oh God,
that's not good.
No, that's stomach, not good.
Your stomach. And how far dropped. Are you from takeoff?
45 minutes, 50 yeah. minutes. Oh, man. I was like, oh gee. I was like, what in the world?
And
like,
you're doing it three?
Yeah, we were doing it 245.
245.
Yep. So I knew I was 45, 50 minutes away, and I knew it was like 1 or 1:15. So I was like, I got 45 minutes to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we gonna do? So I was like, maybe it's the I just got a new lithium battery put in there. It's not one of your guys, but it was one that came with the boat, and it had to be replaced. And I got a new one, and I was like, maybe it's this brand new battery, you know? And I freaking took all the batteries out, swapped them, sat down, hit the button, pops all my breakers again. I was like, damn it, it's not the battery.
Yeah. That would have been too easy.
Oh yeah. But that was another 15 minutes of doing that. So at that point I was like, all right, what I got to call the tournament director. So I called the tournament director, and you know, we talked that through, and he's like, if you can find a competitor, you know, they can pick you up, load all your fish, and you guys can both ride back. And he said non-competitors, I don't know if I was going to be disqualified or that if someone had to stay with the boat, it was something of that nature. I couldn't remember. So I blew Berger's phone up. I had no idea where he was, but I was like, he's one of the only guys besides Santel that made day two that I know. And dude, heaven forbid, the dude was 15 minutes away and was like, he's like, if you can't get it fixed, let me know and I'll haul down there. And yeah. So Berger comes flying. I was like, dude, I can't figure this out. We're gonna have to tie this thing up. And he comes flying down. I saw him like coming to.
And you can always see Berger coming from a mile away. One, he's got a rooster tail a mile high, and then he's got those big talons hanging off the back.
I'm talking just hauling it, dude. Yeah. He asked me on the phone what I had, and I was like, dude, I think I got 18 or 19. He was like, well, I'm going to turn my phone off now. Yeah. He had 16 and was like in third. And I was like, man, you're going to be my saving grace if you come down here. And he just shows up with the biggest damn smile on his face. And I could tell he was just like thrilled about the situation.
Yeah.
it was great. Dude, I'll never forget this tournament because he had just drank a, I don't know why he did this because he's normally wired anyways, but he had just drank an Alani and was like, he's like, my heart's freaking beating so fast. And so we got all my, this is the craziest thing though. So we get it and I tie my boat up at a marina and I open my live wells and two of the fish looked like they were dead. Like they were two smallmouths laid up on their side white. Cause at that point my pumps hadn't been running in like 35, 40 minutes.
They were just laying still.
Yeah, and it was hot where I was, sitting in a bay trying to figure this out. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And Berger's like, don't worry, dude. I got this jacuzzi. He, like, his co-angler ripped out this huge bag, dumped it full of ice, all this G-juice, and it was completely loaded up. And I was like, there's no way these fish are going to, you know, once they start going, smallmouth especially, they just go. And, we transferred them all over. They put them all in a bag and got over there, transferred them all. And so I think it was right at like 55 minutes. So he was like, call Robert and see if I can fish a spot on my way back up. And I was like, sure, why not? So I was like, you're going to help me out. I don't care if you fish. And Robert's like, yeah, each angler could fish two on the front deck and co-anglers can fish two out of the back deck. And
I didn't know that.
They would be like, no, you can't.
I figured like the boater who was giving you a ride and the co-angler.
Yeah.
Could fish, but yeah, you right. couldn't fish out of someone else's boat.
Yeah. So that's how I felt. And I felt that way. So I was like, I'm not going to fish Berger. I was like, whatever happens at this point, you've helped me out so much already.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I was completely content. Like, I was like, it is what it is. But I was like, hey buddy, you want to hit a spot on the way back up? And he was like, is it the good one? And I was like, yeah, it's the good one. So we pull up there. It was so, God, dude, this is so funny. We pull up and we get positioned right, and I'm talking a monster freaking just starts blowing one out of the water. And Berger's so jacked up off that Alani, dude. Yeah. I don't know. He fishes fast.
Berger jacked up is on an Alani is not good, dude, because of how he normally is.
He already fishes fast, but
he does.
Dude, he picks up this topwater rod and was like, I'm going to freaking nail it, you know, and he launches this thing. And I mean, I've never seen Braid hit so hard in backlash. I mean, I don't know how his topwater didn't break off, but it was like locked up and he was sitting there like yanking on it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I literally had the net in there just like sitting out the side. I was like, I'm ready for it, brother. I was like, get this fixed. Go catch that one. And he was just freaking out. He was so mad that he didn't have the shot at that fish. But he's like, all right, screw it. So he reels it in, cuts his topwater off, ties it on another one. And as soon as he does that, another monster like across the thing blows up. And he's like, oh, I got this. Like, I got this one. And the wind's blowing like straight in our face. And he launches his topwater, like goes up in the air and misses completely. And I was like, this is insane. Like, and dude, I've never seen him like that. Like so wired and like,
oh my God,
it was awesome. Like, so it didn't work out for him on there, but I mean, it almost did. It would have been great, but yeah, all the way. So from that point back up, it was like a 40-minute ride. And he was just jamming, dude, like smiling, playing some death metal music. And there was four of us in there and he was like topping it out at 62. I was like, this is one of the best rides I was riding in reverse. I'd never seen the lake going 62 in reverse. So man, just the experience of that final day, I guarantee I'll never forget. It was wild because, you know, we get up there to the weigh-in and everybody's got their bags and they line you up, you know? Yeah. So I had those two dead ones I thought I had. And I get up there and open the live well and start pulling them out, and they're all alive, like swimming. So Berger literally, he saved me from down in Paris, and he saved my fish with the live well you know, hooking me up with some ice and G juice and just having that thing hammered down. And I didn't have a dead fish penalty, you know, and I only won mm-hmm. by 6 pounds. If I'd had those two dead fish, I wouldn't have won either.
Yeah.
So, I'll never forget that day. It was awesome. So, yeah.
Shout out Justin Berger.
Yeah, buddy. I owe that man for this one. Yeah, big for time. Sure. Yeah.
Which he had a great turnout too. Third place.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Killed it. Last month or two, he's been killing it.
Oh, the Ohio River, anytime he goes there, it's a top 10 this year. Well, in the past few years, and then he won the Super. And what was he at the music? Like third or fifth?
Something like that. He made the and cut. Then
third again. So, dude's on a roll.
Absolutely.
And then being a good Samaritan. So, give it up to that.
So now that we've talked about the experience, the incident, have you ever had any sort of incident like that happen before?
I've never had to leave my boat somewhere.
Gotcha.
But my goodness, buddy, I have boat issues. It doesn't matter what boat I have. And I feel like, you know, that's a lot of people that fish a decent amount, but I feel like I have some aurora around me that causes boats just to start jacking up. But I can't ever think of another tournament that I had where I had a chance to win, like legit win, where it was a boat issue. Now, the one I won last July, it was a 3 day one, or it was the July single day one. And I had an experience that was pretty unreal to me. I was sitting out. I had already caught like 12 pounds in the morning, and I was sitting out and I'd fished this ledge where I knew I was only going to get one bite. The day before, I caught a 6 pounder off it. And I was like, I'm going to sit here till the end. And it's hard to sit somewhere where you're not getting bit. Like,
absolutely.
But right before I left, I looked at this guy and I was like, Jesus, please give me this fish. And I'm not kidding. I threw it out. This just blows my mind still to this day. I threw that cast out, and on the way down, my worm, just the whole line thumps. And I didn't even feel for it. Anything. I just reeled down and set the hook, and it was a 6-2. I don't know. It was literally right after I said that. I was just like, man, I've had like the times that you win, there's always something like throughout the day where I feel like if it's meant to be, like there's nothing that's going to stop it from happening.
You can't screw
like,
it up.
I lost that 5-pounder on Sunday and I thought it was over, you know, and it wasn't. And then I had the boat. Like if it's meant to be, you're going to win. Like there's just something about that. And once you win a couple of them, you just realize like when you're fishing anytime moving forward and you have a bad experience, you're like, it's okay. You know, like if I was meant to win this tournament today, you know, I'd be winning this thing. So
you turn it into a learning experience.
It's just more like when you're losing fish or stuff's not going right, you just accept it for what it is. Like that's how I am now anymore. I don't really get upset. I don't get mad about it. It's just positives. Sure. Keep looking forward and just keep fishing because, like I said, when you know you're supposed to win or you have won in the past and you realize that, it's going to happen. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Now that you've got that win under your belt, what are you looking forward to now?
Yeah, so I'm going to fish the USA Bass and Regional this weekend. The nice thing about those is, you know, any tournament just like this one that has Ranger Cup involved, it's an $8,000 bonus if you want. So like this one, I got an $8,000 bonus from it. So that'll be cool. And then I'm going to go to the Dale Hollow tournament for the regional here that I qualified for. I've never been to that lake beside one time. So I would not say I'm a great scoper. I think some people get the conception that I'm a scoper in the fall here. Nothing that I've won ever in the fall here has been from scoping. One of the enjoyable things about this tournament was I didn't look at my graph almost the whole tournament. I mean, I would look at it just to get an idea how close I was to the top of something,
sure,
or to see if they were sitting right on the tip or something like that, but I never stared at it at one time and like physically catch a fish with it. So
no neck pain.
There's such a, you know, there's so much out there about forward facing sonar, and it's just Berger really doesn't use it. I don't use it. There's a lot of people on this lake that people are like, oh, the only way you can win on Kentucky Lake is if you're going to beat, you know, if you're a scoper. And I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I think, just the negativity that's surrounding the industry. People just want something to blame it on and have an excuse, essentially, you know,
yeah.
Rather than just, let's just go fishing.
Right.
Like do your thing. And I think we're lucky here on Kentucky Lake that you can win a tournament without forward facing.
Yeah.
Like it's still possible.
Yeah.
You know, without just being dialed in on it all day.
Yeah.
Now it's hard. Don't get me wrong.
Like, and honestly, I think what people don't realize is in the fall, when you get all that bait fish, I feel like it's a lot harder for them to pick out that one minnow. Like, yeah. And so I feel like it increases your chances to win twofold. Like yeah. when you're not just a scoper and you want to fish fast and hard or whatever you want to do, you do have a better chance to win in the fall. You know, the numbers go down boat wise, but if people actually realize,
yeah,
your chances do increase, I feel like, without, if you just don't want to stare at the screen.
Absolutely.
And I think there's a argument to be made too, where skill, not just with forward facing sonar, but also fishing in general, comes into play. Cause a big scenario that I like to play in my head is if you give me forward facing sonar and then you give Ryan and Joe, who fish all the time and have competed for how long? Forever.
Several years.
If you didn't give them anything, they would beat me 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is there's just a skill gap in general with fishing. And then that helps a lot with it too.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're looking forward to the USA Bassin and the Dale Hollow tournament.
Yeah. If I don't do great in the Dale Hollow, I might go fish the wild card, depending on where they put that at, because absolutely, you can now have the option to fish that even if you fish a regional. So
yeah,
I don't know. Just for fun.
This maybe year anyway.
Give it a go. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you qualify for the Jetta Classic?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Qualify for it. Yeah. So I am excited for the Jetta Classic. I got 2/3 in that thing in the Classic, had a shot to win 2 years ago and blew it. So I want that one pretty badly. I'll put some time in on that one.
That's legitimately like the best tournament on the lake. That's the one you want to be in.
You win that one, especially with the guy, like, you're going to beat the best teams that are out on this lake. Absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. Just qualifying for it, I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty tough. But if you win that dang thing, that's one to keep up there for, you know, that's a great memory.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that, that's mid-October?
18th.
Yeah. I almost thought it was the 20th. But yeah, Ryan, you're looking forward to that one too, right?
Next question.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else for Dustin. Do you?
No, that we covered it all, man.
I think so. So, Dustin, thank you for coming in, man. It was fun watching you take down the win, and hopefully you grab a few more before the year ends.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Congratulations.
For having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for Dustin for coming by and sitting down with us for a little bit. If you liked what you heard or saw, give us a like, comment, subscribe, and let us know what you're looking forward to next. Thanks. See ya.